Welcome to the Marriage Adventure Podcast, where the journey is the destination. It's the highs, the lows, and everything in between.
Hey, welcome to our episode today. We're so glad that you're with us. We're your hosts, Daniel and Bonnie Hoover.
Hey guys, hope you've had a great week. Hey, we just want to let you know, if you haven't subscribed to this podcast, man, we'd love for you to. If you do that, if you hit that subscribe button, then it will pool filter into your podcast player every week, and you'll have us every week. We also have a YouTube channel. You may not know about that, and you can go over to YouTube, type in The Marriage Adventure, and hit subscribe there, and every Friday we release a new video, and man, we'd love to spend the time with you.
Yeah. Well, we've had a good week.
We have had a good week.
We've had a really good week, and
we record these on Fridays.
Yeah.
I'm off on Friday, so it's at the end of the week.
Yeah.
So it's been a good one.
It has been a good week for us, and one of the reasons is we have a family member back with us.
It's been a sad couple of weeks. It's not like our family has been whole. We've had someone in the hospital for 2 weeks, and it has taken its toll on us. And we appreciate all the prayers that went out. But I think we're good now. We're back all home together under the same roof. And
well, it's not under the roof.
No, it's not. It's actually out in the driveway. So about a year ago, maybe a little less, we bought an old 22-year-old motorhome, and I'm not going to go into it here. We're going to do a whole episode on that and a whole YouTube reveal and all that. But we bought this old motorhome, and we spent about 6 weeks gutting it, renovating it, the inside, and
it's a little home away from home.
It is a home away from home. I'm an RV nerd, and so this summer we're going on a big around the country trip and back, and you'll hear all about that probably more than you want to hear, but anyway, so like anything else, you buy it and we're renovating it and all this kind of stuff, and then I had a buddy come over and I just said, hey, we're going on this big trip in 6 or 8 months. Can you tell me the things that I need to be doing, like to the engine? It only had like 35,000 miles on it, that I need to be doing to get ready for this trip and maintenance, getting ready. And so new tires, that was a given. Serpentine belt, that's a given, all that kind of stuff. He pulled the dipstick out of the transmission to check the transmission fluid.
Wah, wah.
And I wish I'd had that sound effect ready. That
would've
been good.
You didn't like mine?
That was great.
Thank you.
So he pulls the dipstick out and there's metal flakes on it. And that means your transmission's going bad. So a new transmission was put in. I mean, like brand new. Like they built it on the line. It was an expense we weren't expecting. But
that's just part of the adventure, right?
And that's exactly what we said when we realized we need a new transmission. We're like, this is an adventure.
Yeah.
And it's part of there's the highs and then there's the lows. But the great thing is this thing will last and we're ready to go. We're one step closer. And I can't wait till we're done recording here. I'm going to crawl underneath there and just look and stare at that new shiny transmission.
You know, Josie said the other day, I miss the motorhome. She just missed seeing it sitting out there. Sad. It's sad, but it's back. It's good. So that's been good. And, the past couple of weeks, this has been a good week, but the past couple of weeks I had noticed something, and maybe it was because the motorhome went around and we were all a little grumpy because we missed the motorhome. But
that's probably that's it.
That's okay. Then just forget the rest of this podcast.
Podcast over.
Because I had noticed that just in the mornings, our morning times were just not fun. Just having to push things along and get this and get that. And did you get your lunch? Did you get this? And can you come clean this up? You got to do this.
So our kids are 10 and 8. And if you've got little kids or you've had little kids or you're going to have little kids, there's only like 6 things they have to do in the morning and to get ready for school. And they could get them all done in 15, 20 minutes. And sometimes they do.
Well, and there's a checklist. We have a board with every one of them written on that they can check it off as they go. So they know what to do.
But we just sometimes you just have to push them along.
Yeah, and I have found, I started noticing recently that our kids were just just fussing with each other and you did this and you did that and get your stuff out of here and leave it and he's touching me, shit, you know, uh-huh. that whole thing. And, uh-huh. and
I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you.
And to be fair, Josie and Colby are really good. They, for the most part,
great
they
kids.
don't argue with each other a lot, which is why it has really stood out the last couple of weeks, because that's just not normal for them. They are normal kids. They have their moments, but it's turned into the overall rule of thumb now that they are aggravating each other. That mm-hmm. it's just mm-hmm. he's doing something. They know the buttons to push, mm-hmm. and they're intentionally just doing those things and not stopping. And
Colby likes to go in his man cave.
Yes,
and do his own thing, and Josie likes to play with
it. It highly offends her yeah. for him to pull into his man cave, and because she is social 24/7, and
he's social seven,
yeah,
like and, 7 minutes.
And poor thing, I mean he does like to play with her, but he needs some time and space. And that's it's right. funny, I felt like it was like
marriage counseling
with my children the other day, because I'm explaining to Josie, guys just need him some time to just
God
process.
Built men he to built go a, into a cave for a little bit.
He needs his man cave, and I'm trying to explain to him why it's not. I said it's just not healthy to
Colby,
live there all the time. He
Colby,
said,
you can't live in your man cave. You have to come out.
He's like, why is that not healthy? He doesn't understand. I'm like,
it should be healthy for me to play with my football guys and draw football logos and
never have to interact and talk to her. And
so funny.
And I had to explain, no, well, that's a little bit selfish. Well, it's a lot selfish. And you, mm-hmm. if you ever want to be married to somebody in your future, you got to learn how to stop doing that. And so we just were having those conversations a lot. And I don't know, I guess it was Monday of this week. I was just sitting and praying. I'm like, God, what is going on with my kids? What is their problem? What's wrong with them? Why are they all of a sudden doing this? And it was just so clear.
Bonnie was praying to God about that. And I'm asking Bonnie, what's wrong with your kids? What's wrong with them?
I was just spending some time seeking the Lord, saying, Lord, you've got to understand, when we first got married, we set up this temperature in our house. We decided we want to use kind words. We don't yell with each other. We want to say please and thank you. And so our kids have kind of fallen into that, because they talk to each other the way we talk to each other, mm-hmm. and it's mostly nice. And so all of a sudden it's like our house is a war zone, and it's not normal. And I'm like, what is going on? What is wrong with them? And God just started working in my heart, and he said, you're the problem.
Mm.
And I'm not talking about
I was going to say that.
You're I'm the, not talking about you, Daniel. But he really was putting on my heart that it was me. And I started catching and realizing that I'm waking up first thing in the morning. It's just, all right, guys, you got to do this. You got to do that. And I'm not even saying good morning, you know, even checking to see what's the temperature in the house before I even start just blowing through. And you left this out. You've got to put this away. Okay, before we get ready to leave, you got to do this. You got to do this. And, I've realized about myself that when I get overloaded, that I do get negative and I get stressed and I get overwhelmed. And God just started saying, you're setting the speed for the mornings, and mm-hmm. you're the one that's it's your words. They're not responding to you the way you want them to, because you're not speaking to them the way that you really want to be speaking to them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not your heart. And man, this week I've just been intentional. And I think, you know, we're doing this whole marriage adventure thing. And after I stepped away from my job full time, I've had a few years of just, it's been peaceful in our home, because I've been able to create a soft place for everybody to land and to just.
You've been solely kind of focused on here and making sure that.
Yeah. And the one thing I was fearful of when we started this whole thing was I didn't want it to. I remember telling you, I just can't let this eclipse my calling with Josie and Colby, because mm-hmm. All of you listen, I love you and I want to help your marriage, but I can't.
Not at the expense of our family.
No, not at the expense of our family. And I'm starting to see it's become all consuming a little bit for me, just trying to get things going. And I can pull back some now. But
well, in the first several months, we started launching the marriage adventure about 4 to 5 months out. We started prepping for launch, mm-hmm. and then we launched in January. 2020. And so it was, you know, full bore until then. And then a few weeks in, we kind of noticed we're still going full bore at it. And what I mean that is, I mean, I've got a full-time job.
Yeah.
So on Fridays and then, but we kind of found like it's sinking into our evenings with our kids, and we're sitting with our laptops doing this and making sure this and this and this is up and all. And we weren't compartmentalizing it for a few weeks after launch very well. And we kind of said, all right, up until launch, let's get this thing going. And then we're also writing this book in the process. And then we realize this might be the reason.
Yeah. And so,
we've had to readjust, which is life.
So that's a very long story to just say that this week, God has just really been dealing with me about my words and how I use them. And Proverbs 18:21 says, the tongue has the power of life and death. And our words really, I remember as a kid hearing that sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And that was the dumbest thing.
Yeah.
And
I've never had a broken bone from a stick. That was stupid.
But I still have some wounds from kids said to me. And in, you know, down, I remember in elementary school, something someone said to me, and I still remember those things. And
me too.
Our words are so powerful, and they either breathe life into people or they suck life out. And that's what we want to talk about on our podcast today.
Okay, we call this segment Lightning Round. Colby, I'm going to ask you questions. You answer as many of them as you can in 1 minute. Are you ready?
Oh, no.
All right, here we go. What's something I always say to you?
I love you.
How old am I?
46.
Oh.
48.
Yeah, you're right, 46. I just don't like that. What do I do for a job?
Work at the church.
I do work at the church. Okay.
Counseling?
I cancel people.
Counseling.
What do you enjoy doing with me?
Watching football.
Okay, that counts. That's good. Yeah. If you had a pet and your pet could talk, what would it say? Rough is the only acceptable answer.
No. Hi.
How does mommy and daddy laugh?
Ha ha ha.
That's terrible. Just terrible. What's your favorite food?
Macaroni and cheese.
Macaroni and cheese. From where?
Chick-fil-A. That's the best.
Yeah. What's your favorite restaurant?
Chick-fil-A.
Nice. What's your favorite nursery rhyme?
Time.
Oh.
I got out of that. I don't even know what that is.
Job,
he answered
buddy.
Eight. What's a nursery restaurant? Ta.
So today we're talking about our words and how our words affect us. And James 1:26 says, those who consider themselves religious or do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. So basically, if our faith in Christ doesn't play out in our daily activities, then our faith is somewhat worthless. And Christ wants to live his life through us. And there's nowhere else that this is better seen than in your home. And we talk a lot about the climate in your home. And the climate in your home, it's kind of like your thermostat. You know, your thermostat sets the temperature in your home. And so if you're cold, then what do? You get up and you go adjust the thermostat, unless you have one of those programmable ones, and then this whole illustration doesn't make sense. But you change it, right? And so if you're hot, if you're warm, you go and you turn up the air. If you're cold, we turn on the fire, or we go over and we turn up the heat. And we have to do the same thing in our home if we begin to see that the attitude, the climate of the way we talk to each other is a negative one. And so how do we begin to do that, Bonnie? What are some things we have to do?
Well, we all know that we need to be kind. I don't think there's any question for us to say, well, you know, I don't think I could use any more kindness in my home. I think the way we talk to each other is fine. And you know what? Some people have developed that where they're careful with how they speak with their spouse, that they use encouraging words and they build up with each other. But I know we all get in the flesh sometimes and we snap at each other and we say things, and then we're like, okay, sometimes we catch those things, but then it can become a pattern that affects the entire home and the entire relationship, that we can cloud our whole relationship with the way we speak to each other, we either feel encouraged by that person and like they're a safe place, or we feel torn down by them and mm-hmm. and rejected at times by words. And words are very wounding if we're not careful, if we're not using them the right way.
Yeah, I think that word pattern you said is mm-hmm. huge in this. Because I think we all develop patterns for everything in our life, whether it's the way we eat or whether it's the way we spend our time or whether it's the way we communicate or, you know.
Yeah.
We have schedules. We have patterns. We have that. And a lot of us, maybe we grew up in a home that that words weren't always spoken that were kind, or there was a lot of picking on each other or a lot of, you know, that kind of stuff going on. And you've developed a pattern for how you communicate. And then we get married and we marry someone who has a pattern that they've developed in their, from their family of origin. And we try to blend those.
Yeah.
And so recognizing an unhealthy pattern of communication, I think, is the first step in realizing what's going on is the first step in changing it. And that was something that early on, I mean, I grew up the youngest of four boys, and it wasn't a toxic culture or climate at all. Mm-mm. We were all 4 years apart, so there was a good bit of space between each of us. But we would, we'd tussle, and my brother.
Y'all were boys.
We were boys.
All boys.
And say stuff. And then we got married, and it wasn't vastly different, but it was a little different in the fact.
I know my mom was very careful about what we said. It was a family rule.
Yeah.
And she said, our family rule is we do not put each other down. Mm-hmm. We don't talk to each other like that. So much so that if we started arguing, we just had to go to our separate rooms.
Yeah.
That was great because there was peace in the house, which I'm thankful for. And that's something I wanted a pattern after, but I think I wasn't so good about resolving conflict.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something we figured out in our marriage a few years ago, was that I kind of just go to my corner and run from sometimes resolving conflict because I'm not good at it. But my mom was very intentional about making sure that we didn't say mean things to each other. And if we did, we got in trouble for it.
Mm-hmm. So I think that first thing is just realizing what's going on and kind of doing a climate assessment in your home, the attitude climate and the conversation climate. And is it one that breathes life, mm-hmm. or is it one that sucks life? And I probably said this before on the podcast, I do this a lot in my life. I kind of project myself out into the future, 10, 20 years down the road. And I think, God, what are my kids going to think of their childhood when they're in their 20s and 30s?
Yeah.
And so that kind of lets me come back to now and readjust based upon what I feel like. I don't want them to have that soundtrack in their head of mom and dad were always getting on to me. And I never heard that they were proud of me or that they loved me. And that's why it did my heart good when Colby said what he did on the lightning round. What does daddy say to you a lot? Because I'm like, oh, I didn't realize I did. That's great.
Yeah.
I'm glad that's what he's
here.
We wouldn't have aired that episode. But no, I'm just kidding. But no, I'm not kidding. We wouldn't have. But anyway, so I think you've got to assess, do a climate assessment.
Yeah. And then the second thing is, I think we have to take ownership. If God, like this past week, it was hard for me to realize the problem wasn't my kids. The problem in our whole home, I felt like, was me.
Yeah, I'm going to take ownership in that too.
And scripture says out of the heart, the mouth speaks. And I had to allow God to show me that it was my attitude that was affecting my words. It was my overwhelmed. I had become so consumed with just getting a job done that I was not seeing the people around me. They were in my way, and I was just huffing and puffing and trying to, this house is not clean. Well, part of it's because I've been in the middle of trying to do some work, and I have let those things go. Mm-hmm. And it's not just their fault. It's mine too. And,
God, last Saturday you were gone, and, I can't remember where you were, but, the kids and I were here at the house, and I just went off on them. Mm. I felt horrible. It's typically about them being kids. It's about this house is a mess, and look, you've moved from one project to the next, and it's a mess. And I went off on them, and I went emotions, and I think I really probably injured Josie, and she went back to her room, and she's kind of made her little closet into a little nook.
Yeah.
And although we built her a loft and a nook under it, she doesn't like so. But she went into her little closet and she closed the door, and I went back there and I felt horrible. And I had to talk to her about it.
Well, that's Proverbs 12:18 says, "There is one whose words, rash words, are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." And I think we all can be rash with our words sometimes, whether we mean to be or not. Sometimes we're just in a mood and those things come out. But sometimes we can be in the middle of conflict with our spouse, and we know what we're saying.
Mm-hmm.
We know what we're saying is wounding, mm-hmm. and that it's intentional because we want to win. We mm-hmm. want to wound. We want to get out of this and feel like we had the upper hand or we won the argument. And rash words are like sword thrusts.
Mm-hmm.
They wound people. They're painful. But Scripture says that the tongue of the wise brings healing. And I think we've got to figure out a way in the moment when we have those emotions overtake us, how can we capture those words before they slip out?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How do we do that?
So I think the first thing, and like we said, do an assessment and then realize what my bad pattern is I think the second step. And then the hardest thing is when we're in that moment,
mm-hmm.
Because it's a pattern and you've got to recognize it. But when you're in the moment, they say that there's a quarter second for a stimulus, when a stimulus hits your brain, between the time that it hits your brain and your body processes it, whether it comes out in words or in actions, there's a quarter second there. That's not a lot of time. But if you can capture that quarter second and extend it out to, say, 6 seconds or 8 mm-hmm. seconds or 10 seconds, then what happens is that thought process will reroute from the emotional center of your brain processor, which is the amygdala, which processes your emotions. It can scientifically reroute from the amygdala back to your cortex in the front where your decision making happens.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the problem. We're faced with an emotional stimulus and it doesn't go to the decision making part of our brain. It goes straight to the emotional processor. And so that's why if we can just keep our mouth shut for a second or two, if we can keep our mouth shut for 6 seconds, then a lot of times it's like that 6 second delay they have in TV.
I wish I had that.
Don't you? And I wish the easy button from Staples did that. Hashtag Staples, you should do that. But if you can capture that and just keep your mouth shut for 6 seconds, 8 seconds, it science proves it will reroute back. And then you have a choice as to what kind of reaction you have, response you have. I can either choose to do something kind and say something kind, or I can choose to be a butthole and say it anyway.
Yeah. I remember when I was in high school, I know I struggled with, I think I was much more sarcastic back then. And I remember memorizing a verse back then, Psalm 141:3 said, "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips." Mm-hmm. And it's that God just set a guard, if it's an angel or whatever, that just seals up my mouth before I say something stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Because once you've said it, it's hard to get those words back.
It's really hard. It's like going out into the wind with a feather pillow, open it up, and the feathers go everywhere.
Yeah.
It is very difficult to get them back.
So what if you don't grab that quarter second? What if you've said the dumb thing and it's just the mean thing it's just slipped out. You've crossed a line or you've wounded your spouse or your family, your children. What do you do then?
Which that's going to happen most of the time until you're able to change your pattern.
Oh, yeah. It takes practice to guard the door of your lips. It takes practice to shut your mouth. And
patterns don't change overnight.
No.
It's like eating, exercise, whatever you're doing. It's intentionality over time, and that's what brings change about. So I think when that happens, when you say something mean, Scripture tells us, maybe you've heard the passage. Matter of fact, our pastor, Mike, speaked on it. It's good English right there. Good English. He spoke on it this past week, where if you're at the altar offering your sacrifice to the Lord, and you remember that your brother has something against you or offended your brother, it says, get up and go do it right then. And I think we have to put the emphasis on when you remember, in that moment, go. Yeah. It doesn't say put it off, doesn't say wait, doesn't say put it on a to-do list, doesn't say put it on a reminder on your app. It says get up and go. Mm. And so I think when we say something to our spouse that's cutting or something that's negative, the thing to do is apologize right then. And you can just say, you know, listen, I really said something that was mean, and I really apologize. And you don't bring up anything they did. You don't even have to go further into it. Just apologize and ask forgiveness. And I think if you can, that right there will start to create a new climate in your home.
Yeah.
Because, man, I'm telling you, there's people I know that I know they'll ask forgiveness and apologize when hell freezes over.
Yeah.
I mean, when pigs fly, it just doesn't happen. I don't think I've ever heard it. Mm-hmm. But if you can begin to do that with your spouse, then you're right there. You're already starting to change the climate in your home.
Well, there's so much power of healing in the words, I'm sorry.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
When somebody says, I'm sorry, it basically is saying, I realize I hurt you and I wish I hadn't done that. And
it speaks love. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you come to me and you apologize, then I know you didn't get caught with something and then have to apologize. Mm-hmm. I know that you came out with it. You confessed it and that you care about my heart. Mm-hmm. And whether we put those words together in our head or not, that's what we begin to realize.
Yeah.
And how important that is. So I think when that time comes, and it's going to come, and you mess up, and it's probably going to happen more often than not, as soon as you realize it, then apologize and pray that God will, you know, set a door on your lips.
Well, it's that, going back to that verse that says that the tongue of the wise brings healing. Mm-hmm. And I think apologizing mm-hmm. is wise.
Yeah.
But it also, there's such healing. And I know a gentle answer turns away wrath.
That's right. The
way you use your words can de-escalate a situation. Mm-hmm. And just saying I'm sorry, when you say you're sorry about something, it changes my heart automatically. We can be engaged in something, mm-hmm. but the second you take a step towards me in an apology, my heart just changes. It stops mm-hmm. it. It's that, for me, it's that quarter second of, oh, okay, now, okay, so, I've been talking stupid. He's stopped and he's recognized it. Yeah, I need to be an adult too.
So what if you apologize and I come back and I say, well, yeah, you're right. You did hurt me. What should your actions be then?
Well, that's hard. I mean,
because that's not de-escalating. That's taking it back up. Mm-hmm. And I think in the moment you just have to, your goal here is to bring peace and de-escalate mm-hmm. the situation.
And I think if you did that, if I said I'm sorry and you said, yeah, you're right, you did hurt me, it does. It's harder to come back, but I have to still realize I was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, you're right.
And it did hurt you. And I have to take ownership of that. And I can't just jump right back in because you said that. And, well, mm-hmm. it's our natural tendency when someone says something to us and calls us out on something, it's our natural tendency to snap back. But mm-hmm. but I think the whole idea here is to be willing to humble yourself. And that's with our kids too. And mm-hmm. to say, Mama was wrong. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. And I tell you what, this week has been such a better week because I've mm-hmm. been intentional with my words and the way they're talking to each other's better.
Mm-hmm.
And the way they're responding to me is better. There's peace in our home again. And it's all because I took ownership of that and allowed God to work in my heart and to confess to them and to the Lord and to you and say, you know, I need help with this. I need some patience. And so what if my spouse is the one who creates the negative atmosphere and you realize, okay, I'm trying to change here. I'm trying to make things better, but my spouse is the one that's got the negative words and atmosphere.
I think you pointed out to them and you cast blame on them and you posted on it to restore. But But if not, if you change, then that's going to encourage your spouse to change. And I think if you're in the middle of a situation and your spouse says something cutting and hurtful to you, I don't think it's a bad idea to say very lovingly and in the right moment and in the right time, the right way, say, you know, what happened back then, what you said, you know, earlier today, man, that really cut. Mm-hmm. It really hurt my feelings. And I don't think that's a bad thing to do.
Well, I think in the middle of it, sometimes there have been times that I have snapped at you and you've looked at me very lovingly and said, is everything okay? Mm-hmm. Because that I know this isn't you. Mm-hmm. And that has convicted me. And I'm like, oh, man, yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm. You're right. And I think we can lovingly change if we don't engage. Mm-hmm. We've got to not engage and just go back and forth. We got to break the pattern with our own response to their negativity or to the words they're speaking. Don't engage with the same. Don't respond in the same way.
It's hard to fight somebody that's not fighting you back. And then I think another thing is if you recognize this in your spouse, man, have them listen to this podcast with you. See, I'd love for us to listen to this together and talk about it. And I just got a social media reply from someone that said they watch the YouTube video together. It's 3 to 5 minutes. It's short. And then they talk about it and how they can bring solutions. So listen to this podcast or watch the YouTube video this week and talk about it and talk about how you guys can bring solutions and do the climate assessment yourselves between the two of you and do it together. And I don't think that's a bad thing.
And if you're at the beginning of your marriage adventure, this is a great time to go ahead and sit down, mm-hmm. kind of like we did, and said, you know what, we want to use please and thank you and mm-hmm. kind words. And we want to, this is the kind of communication pattern we want to develop, and mm-hmm. we know we need to work at it now. And you'll reap huge benefits from that later in your marriage and once you bring children into the family, if you can establish that now, and you can.
Mm-hmm.
If
it's never too late.
Yep. So
never too late. Well, thanks for joining us today. Every week we try to give you action steps, but honestly, I think the whole podcast has been action steps for how we can readjust the tone and the climate in our home with the attitudes and the way we speak and the way we talk.
Well, and if you've got any questions or topics you'd like to hear us discuss, you can leave us a comment at The Marriage Adventure on Facebook or Instagram, or you can even email us at info@themarriageadventure.com. So thanks for being with us this week, and we hope you have a great week.
And enjoy your adventure. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast. Then head on over to Facebook and Instagram and give us a follow. Have a great week.